Don't worry about tomorrow because God is already there. Well, praise the Lord, Bridgeway. I said, praise the Lord, Bridgeway. One more time for the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. Can I hear people who like purple and black or any Ravens fans in the house? Can I hear that for you? Yeah. Yeah, you know, today is Homecoming Sunday, so whether you're at home or whether you came here to your church home, we welcome you in the name of the Lord. We welcome Pastor Nick as well from Nairobi Chapel. God bless you, my brother. So glad you're here. Wonderful to partner with you. I remember the last time I was there and we were able to go and preach in the prisons with your outstanding prison ministry. The ministry you're doing in Nairobi is amazing. And praise God for our guest worship leader as well, Minister Santos. Put your hands together for him and our worship ministry. Well, you know, today is Homecoming Sunday, so you know, after church around 1 o'clock when the game is on, we're going to have it on here in Columbia, Maryland. We're going to have it on there in Owens Mills, and you can tailgate, bring your food, watch the game. I'm going to try to hit Owens Mills. I'll be out there for a bit. I'll be here in Columbia as well, and if somebody knows how to make a good hot dog, hook a brother up, okay? So looking forward to that. Of course, the Ravens are playing, you know, a great rival. They're playing the the Pittsburgh Steelers. Any Pittsburgh Steelers fans in the house? Two of them. Praise the Lord. We'll lay hands on them at the altar a little bit later. So, you know, people always ask me, you know, who's your favorite team? Because, you know, I grew up in Washington, born in D.C., raised in Prince George's County, Maryland. And, of course, I started my church in Columbia and Owens Mills, so that's all like a little bit of Ravens country. And so it's kind of a mix, right? It's like, you know, you're for the Ravens, but, you know, when your heart is with the Washington team, you know, it used to be the Washington Redskins, you know, and now they're the Washington Commanders. And this is why today we're talking about prayer. Because clearly the Lord is not listening to my prayers. Thursday night, the Commanders just got creamed. And I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? How long, God? How long? We got a new owner. And how long, Lord? So when I pray those prayers about, Lord, deliver us from evil. Yes, I'm talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Lord Jesus, help me. But the real question is, you know, how do you know how to pray? When you're a fan of the Baltimore Ravens and you're praying hard that they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, whose side is God on? Or if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan and you're praying hard for the Ravens, who is God listening to? And what happens when godly fans like me, who pray for the Commanders to win, and when wretched sinner fans like Henry Dawson, who loves the Cowboys, and all the other Cowboy fans, is God listening to them as well, or is he really only listening to their prayers of salvation? Because you can't be saved and be a Cowboys fan at the same time. Seriously, though, whose prayers does God answer? And clearly, he doesn't always answer mine. I mean, I've been asking God over and over again, but does that mean if you lose that your prayers weren't good enough? But if you're holier and godlier, does that mean that your prayers were the ones that God wanted to hear? And of course, we're talking and joking, of course, about sports and entertainment, but what about the more serious matters? And while we can joke about our favorite teams and stuff, whether it's the Steelers or the Cowboys or whoever it may be, what about the more serious stuff? Like your health, your relationships, your home, your finances, your friendships in school to turn around, your employment situation, your contract bid. Or what about Israel? Shall we pray and ask God to please be with the innocent in Israel and in Gaza, civilians who are trying to live their lives, but war seems to try to rip people apart? And we will pray and pray for Israel and And for Ukraine, as our team goes to serve Ukrainian refugees in Moldova and Romania. But the Bible says in the last days there are going to be wars and rumors of wars. And it's breaking out all over the world. And so if there was ever a time for believers to pray, now would be the time. In fact, pray with me now, Lord Jesus, as we go into your word, we pray that your word would go into us. We pray, God, for peace on the earth. We pray, God, that the Prince of Peace would make himself known right there in Israel and on the Gaza Strip. We're praying for civilians, God, and we're praying for those in power. And Lord, we know that revenge and anger and violence is so rampant throughout the world. And we're praying, God, that you as the Prince of Peace would use the men and women of peace to help usher in, Lord, that which would be your will. So we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. For those of you who are going with me to Nigeria, keep us in prayer next week. And for those who are going with me to Israel in March, stay tuned. Keep signing up. We're on the ground. We have people right there who are telling us what we need to do. And so safety first. Don't worry. We're not going anywhere that's going to be a problem. So, but that doesn't mean don't be praying about March 17th through 25. Go ahead and sign up. Now, when you pray, you're supposed to pray that the Lord's will be done. And that's how you go in prayer, because the reality is we don't always know God's will, but God always knows his will. And so we pray our will into God's will. And if our will, because he tells us we can ask him for what we want, if our will lines up with his will, then hopefully all will come to pass. But we also know, because we're fallen people, that our will isn't always his will. And sometimes he has other things going on that we don't know about. You say, well, then why should I pray? We pray because it is a connection with God and it demonstrates our faith in him. We pray that his will would be done. In fact, in James chapter 4, verse 15, we're told in the book of James that if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. In other words, don't just boast about tomorrow, but say if it's the Lord's will. You know, plan for tomorrow, but always leave it open to the fact that God's will supersedes ours. And you've heard me say it before, that I set my schedule, but God shapes my day. And so you got to be in tune with the Lord even as your day is moving along. And sometimes our will lines up with God and sometimes it doesn't. But we have to understand what prayer is and how are we supposed to pray. Well, simply put, for those of you in the house, for those of you at Owens Mills right now, for those of you in your living rooms or in your car, prayer is simply a conversation with God. It's talking to God, and it's listening to God talk to you. It's a relationship. That's what prayer is. And there's no super way to pray where some pray better than others. It's really having a conversation. And the meaningfulness of that conversation. But still people wonder, well, how do we pray? Well, that's exactly what the disciples wanted to know as well. And so they asked Jesus in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. How do we do this, Lord? And Jesus gave them a model prayer or a pattern of prayer, if you will. So for the rest of my time together, what I want to do is talk to you about the pattern of prayer, the practice of prayer, and then just for a little bit, the person of prayer. Let's talk about the pattern of prayer. Jesus gives the disciples this model prayer. Now, some of you know it, so you could say it with me. It's in Matthew 6, it's in Luke 11. And so Jesus says this, when you pray, say this, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but what? Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That last part we find in later manuscripts of the translation. What is Jesus doing? Well, there are 10 sort of different areas of prayer that you find in this pattern. We won't go over all 10 of them. What I'm going to do is break it into two pieces. The first piece, Jesus is saying, pray to God about himself. The second piece, pray to God about yourself. Pray to God about himself, verses 9 and 10. Then pray to God about yourself, 11 through 13. But he begins with the Lord, our Father who art in heaven, and he ends with the Lord. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And so when you pray, open by acknowledging God, close by acknowledging God. Everything else is in the middle. So when you go to prayer, don't just go right in, and God, could you please give me this, that, and the other? No. Would you say, God, I'm recognizing who you are. And you're God in heaven. You're the sovereign God of the universe. And before I start clicking off everything that I want, I need to pray to you about you. This is who you are. Now, when you do that, you're immediately going to start feeling the peace of God change you. Because when you start acknowledging who God is in light of who you are, your situation begins to dim just a little bit more. And so when you go into prayer, start with acknowledging and praising God for who he is. And this is what Jesus is doing. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy and lifted up is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You get all that straight first. God, this is who you are. And then you move to verse 11. Now give me this day my daily bread. So the pattern is you pray to God about himself, and then you pray to God about yourself. You open and you close with God. So that's the pattern of prayer. Secondly, let's move to the practice of prayer. I'm going to give you now 10 ways to pray. According to the scripture, you're going to have to write it down, take a picture, or have a really good memory. I'll try to post it later as well, but what are these 10 ways to pray? Let me run through them quickly. Number one, pray for others. Pray for others. This is known, does anybody know what this is known as? It's known as intercession. That's when you're praying for others. We can find it all throughout the scripture, but you'll see Paul say this in 1 Thessalonians 5:25, pray for us. Or in Ephesians 6:19, he says, pray also for me. Or in Colossians 4:2, he'll say, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he left Peter, James, and John to pray for him while he was going deeper into the garden to talk to the Lord. So out of the 10 ways to pray, the first one, pray for others. Secondly, pray with others. This is what we call fellowship. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that fellowship like the triangle, God is at the top. You and somebody else who's a believer is at the bottom. And as you get closer to the Lord and come together in the Lord, you come together in fellowship. Pray with each other. And Jesus says in Matthew 18, 19, and 20, I quote, "Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by the Father in heaven." Verse 20, "For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." So God is expecting believers to pray together, not just to pray alone, although that's important, but also to pray with one another. 10 ways to pray. Pray for others. Pray with others. 3, pray over others. This is called covering or the laying on of hands. I've been prayed for by my clergy support today, Lisa Bryson, a couple of times. And then the elders and elders council women came and they prayed over me, laid hands on me. So when I walk up here and I'm giving God's word, I'm coming under covering of prayer. When you go into a meeting at work, go in that meeting under the cover of prayer. When you got to go home and have a difficult conversation with a family member, go into that conversation under the cover of prayer. You'd be amazed how things change when you walk under the covering. When you begin to go into a job situation under the covering, it can change how that day happens. When you drive from point A to point B under that covering, you'd be amazed how you could be protected. And so we need to be a people who not only pray for and with, but lay hands and pray over one another. The elders have the house of prayer every Wednesday night, where you can be prayed for by the elders. They can lay hands on you. It says in James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. And so take advantage of Wednesday night prayer, Wednesday night discipleship classes. But, you know, every now and then you're like, you know what? What I need right now is somebody to pray with me, for me, and over me. Here's the fourth way to pray. Pray with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. Paul writes in Philippians 4:6, but in everything, by prayer and petition, here it is, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. With thanksgiving. So that means that when you take the anxieties and the worries of your heart and you go to God in prayer, it says that you ought to pray about everything, every petition and supplication. But when you do it with thanksgiving. In other words, you thank God in advance for what he's going to do. God, I'm worried about this diagnosis. I'm worried about this doctor's appointment. But as I pray and ask you, God, to reverse whatever's going on in my body, I am thanking you, God, that you've already gone ahead and that your report is different than the one that I received. I'm already thanking you, God, for the healing that will be revealed. I don't know when it's going to be revealed. I don't know how it's going to be revealed. But I know, God, that you're going to heal this marriage. I know, God, that you're going to reverse this cancer. I know, God, that you're going to give me the breakthrough I need in order to pay the bills that are coming down the line. But part of faith is praying in faith. And praying in faith means I'm already going to thank God in advance for what he's going to do. And when you do that, your faith begins to grow. And God loves someone who is thankful and cheerful and who actually believes that he's going to do what he said he was going to do. So pray with thanksgiving. And like I said last week, you can pray 5 times a day. You can pray in the morning as soon as you wake up before you grab your cell phone. You could pray at night before you go to bed. And you can pray 3 times before each meal if you're eating 3 meals a day. It says that the Lord looked up and gave thanks. You can look up and give thanks. Paul looked up and he gave thanks. Then he broke bread and fed them. And so when you pray, you can look up and say, thank you, God. Or you can bow and give grace and say, thank you, God. But what you're doing is saying, thank you, Lord, for providing my daily bread. So if you do that, that's 5 times a day right there. And like I said, you don't even have to be a Muslim to pray 5 times a day. And so that at least gets you started. Pray with thanksgiving, and there's 5 times that you can do it. But it also says in the Bible, pray without ceasing, which is the 5th way to pray. This is ongoing prayer. This means that you're not only praying those 5 times a day, but it's like in the morning when you start praying, you open up a file on your computer. You know how you open up a file and have it on the desktop, meaning you keep it open while you're doing other things? This is what it means to pray without ceasing. You may start it in the morning, but carry that theme throughout the day. Like you prayed for that meeting this morning. Lord, when I get in at 10 o'clock, I know I have this important meeting. I'm asking that you go ahead of me. Leave the file open. And so then as you're walking into that meeting, it's 10 minutes before the meeting. Lord, we talked about it this morning. Please just organize everything before I walk in. And then you go into the meeting. God, thank you. You're already here. Let me hear you. Give me spirit of discernment. And Lord, help me to say what I'm supposed to. Give me the courage to ask for the raise, Lord. Give me the courage to share what I've been dealing with, God. Give me the words to give the report in a way that's clear and not jumbled so they understand it. So what are you doing? You're caring from the morning, but you kept the desktop open. That's what's praying without ceasing. You're continuing the theme all throughout the day. And then you get home, you're like, thank you for getting me through the day, Lord. Thank you for the safety and the traffic, Lord. Thank you that I'm about to eat another meal, Lord. God, it's been a good day so far, God. You do that all the way until you get to bed at night. And now it's nighttime. And now you're just closing the file. See, the file's been open all day. And now you're closing the file before you go to sleep. Lord Jesus, I asked you this morning, and you were with me all day. Thank you, Lord. You see, that's praying without ceasing, continually ongoing breath throughout the day with different themes, but you just kind of keep the file open. Pray without ceasing. Well, that's the fifth one. Let's go to the sixth one. But you know what? Before we go to the sixth one, can I just say something about this prayer without ceasing? It's going to sound weird, but when you are praying continually, that means that all day long, you're in an attitude of prayer. I remember that Billy Graham was on Larry King. This was a show that was on years ago, and he's a talk show host on television, and he'd have someone sit across the desk and he'd interview him. And he was interviewing Billy Graham about something, and he talked about prayer. And Billy Graham, he said, Larry King, he was a Jewish guy, he's like, so how often do you pray? He looked at Larry and he said, I'm praying right now. Larry's like, you're praying right now? He goes, yes, I'm praying right now, even as I'm talking to you. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. That even when your eyes are open, even when you're in the middle of a meeting, even when you're in the middle of a conversation, you've got that connection with God. Friends, listen, this is going to sound really weird here, but I even pray for parking spaces. It's kind of weird, right? Anybody pray for parking spaces? So y'all weird like me. I mean, I pray for parking, and can I be real specific? I believe in specific prayers. I pray for a corner space. Because that is car dent management at 50%. If I park in between two cars, that means I have a risk of a dent on the left side and a dent on the right side. Anybody got dents in their car? They don't know how they got there, but you wish somebody would have left you a note? Yeah, they don't leave notes, right? When the last time you left a note? You probably dent somebody's car right now. You're going to look out there in the parking lot and be like, who dented my car? So I ask God not only for a parking space, I ask God for a corner space. I could back my truck in a corner space. That's a 50% risk management right there. Only half the car can get hit. And it may seem weird to you, but it's okay. What's your weird specific prayer? Do you have any? If you don't have any weird specific prayers, that means you ain't tapping into prayer enough. You're still depending on yourself. You need to do something that seems weird and specific that when it happens, all you can do is say what? Thank you, Jesus. That's all you can say at Owens Mills. That's all you can say in Columbia. That's all you can say at home right now is I asked specifically and God actually did it. Some people complain about not being able to sleep. Listen, the next time you can't sleep, pray. Don't count sheep. Don't start reading. Don't turn on the TV. Don't start looking at your phone. If you're having a problem sleeping, you've been laying there for 30 minutes, you're like, I'm just thinking about everything about my day. Start praying. You said, but Pastor, if I start praying, I may fall asleep on God. That's all right. He never sleeps nor slumbers. That's okay. You can fall asleep on him. In fact, it's the best sleep you can get. When somebody can't sleep at night, tell them, can you pray? Because if you can pray, you can sleep. Don't count sheep. Pray. It's the best sleep you're going to get. You don't believe me? Ask Peter, James, and John. They were in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they're supposed to be praying for Jesus in his darkest hour. He came back. He's like, y'all couldn't, like, pray for, like, an hour or something? And I can hear Peter. Peter's like, well, Lord, what had happened was, we had just come from, you know, that meal that you gave us in John 13, and you know how we did the whole communion thing, breaking of bread and all that, and you said, this is my body, right? So we started eating, and then you offered that, like, that wine, you know, how you be changing water into wine and all this. And so now you called that communion. This is my bread, this is my body. So, you know, we had a little bit of wine, we had some food, and well, what had happened? Well, it's called the itis. Anybody know what the itis is? Don't worry about the itis. Ask a neighbor. Ask an ethnic friend of yours. But that's when that food get all up in your belly, and all of a sudden you look at that family member, and they laid out on the couch sleep after Thanksgiving. That food had taken hold of them. Well, I guess maybe Peter, maybe John, maybe James had the itis. I don't know what they had, but one thing I do know that they had some really, really good sleep. So if you can't sleep tonight, what are you going to do? You're going to pray. Okay, so we said pray for others, with others, over others, with thanksgiving, without ceasing. Number six, pray in the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus himself says, I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Ask and you will receive it, and your joy will be complete. Pray in the name of Jesus. When we go to God the Father, through Jesus, the Son. not through Buddha, not through Confucius, not through Muhammad, not through your lucky stars, not through fortune tellers, not through psychics, not through palm readers, not through horoscopes. We go to God, not through Mary, not through the saints. We go to God through the only one who God recognizes as the one he sent to stand in between the gap between God and man. He was born of a virgin. He lived perfectly on the earth. He died a cruel, sinful death. He transferred all the sins of humanity onto him. He was crucified. He died. He beat hell. He rose again from the dead. He beat the grave. He now lives. He's at the right hand of the Father. And nobody is a doorway and an access to Almighty God, the Creator, except Jesus Christ. He's the only way to God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God the Father except through me. Acts 4:19 says, salvation is found in no other name. And so when we go to God the Father, we go in the name of Jesus. Otherwise, there's no power. Otherwise, you're not talking to God the Father. You may be talking to a God, but you're not talking to the God. There's only one God, and there's only one way to that God. And that way, that door, that gate is Jesus. Here's a seventh way. Pray on your knees. Pray on your knees. In fact, it says Jesus did this in Luke 22:41. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed. So, listen, you can pray sitting down, you can pray standing up. But when you get to your secret place, in fact, Jesus went a stone's throw away and went into a secret place. He says in Matthew, go into your private room, go into your closet where no one else is. So while we pray together with believers, we also want to have a time when it's just us by ourselves. And we get down on our knees before Almighty God. And when we get on our knees, then the real us begins to come out before God. And the veil of everything that you said you were begins to fall apart. You start crying out to God. And then the real you, all the other false things begin to fall off. The true you that nobody else got to see begins to come forth. And even though you may have been cloaked in something else, once you go in your private place, once you start to talk to God about the real you, once you start crying out to him in a very personal way, those things that were holding you down, those things that were holding you back begin to fall off, and the real you begins to show up before Almighty God. Somebody say, command us. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You can't get to God through them either. Lord knows they need God. You can also declare to God what he said in his word. When you're praying to God, pray his word back to him. He honors and he stands on his word. Number eight, pray on the armor of God. In Ephesians 6, it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. How do you get the armor of God on? Six pieces of armor. You pray it on. Now, I've posted on my Facebook page, at Anderson Speaks, or my Instagram, the Armor of God prayer that I wrote many years ago. Many of you have seen it, heard it. You can pray it on in 4 minutes. Here's the ninth one. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Paul says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keeping on praying for all the saints. Praying in the Spirit means you're inviting the Spirit into the room and into your prayers to be led by him in whatever way he wants to guide you. See, the Spirit is also known as wind. So when you pray in the Spirit and you kick that ball up to go through the goal, all of a sudden it doesn't seem to go far enough. And it's a little bit to the right. But if you're praying in the Spirit like the wind, he can carry that prayer all the way across the goal to hit God's will. That's what praying in the Spirit means. It also means this, though. Somebody's praying against you. They kick a ball against you in the name of Jesus. But because the wind of the Spirit can take that and rip it right out of hell's hands, that which was meant to hurt you cannot succeed. Weapons can be formed against you, but it will not prosper because the wind of the Holy Spirit took that ball and threw it that way. You better go home with that prayer when your enemies come against you. And so it's important to pray in the Spirit because it's a spiritual battle and with the armor of God on. Here's the last one. Pray for forgiveness. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus taught his disciples, he said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What have we said today? We've talked about the pattern of prayer. Prayer to God about himself, about yourself. Begin and end in prayer. We talked about the practice of prayer. We gave you 10 ways. Pray for others, with others, over others, with thanksgiving, without ceasing. In Jesus' name, on your knees, pray on the armor of God. Pray in the Spirit. Pray for forgiveness. Finally, the person of prayer, we already talked about it, but it's all about Jesus. The Bible says that anyone who confesses his name and anyone who calls on his name will be saved. He is the object and the subject of our prayers. And when we go to God, we go to the person himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our key verse for this whole four-week series that we're ending today says that these new believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, into prayer. I'm gonna ask you now that you would just bow your heads with me. And as we bring today's service to a close, I want you to take just a few minutes by yourself and make your seat your altar. And for some of you, you may not have prayed all morning. I'm gonna ask you just to take a few minutes and talk to God. At Owens Mills, Reisterstown, at your home, let's just take a couple minutes now and go before God. Just 10 more seconds. Talk to God. I'm going to ask young adult Jonathan Adjo, my assistant, to come up and pray over the congregation. And after he's done praying, the music team's going to come out and they're going to take us out on a song that is upbeat, that's in Spanish, and it means that if you just have faith of a mustard seed, that God can move mountains. So make sure that when you pray, you actually believe that God can hear you. Jonathan, come on up as we say the Lord's Prayer one more time together. Come on, let's say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, please give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen and amen. Would you pray over us, please?
Let's pray. Thank you, sovereign God, for another day in your presence. Thank you for this opportunity for us to be gathered together. Let us not take it for granted. Thank you that you are seated high and we are seated with you in heavenly places. Thank you, Father, that you are provider, healer, comforter. Thank you, Father, that you are so good. There is nothing that is out of your hands. Thank you that our world is safe in your hands. Father, I pray over this congregation, over the congregation of Omar, all the people online. I pray your spirit of peace on all of us, Father. All anxiety, all fear be gone in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for hope, Lord. There are people who came into this place, Father, who doubted you, who doubted the realness and your power and your authority. May you show up so strongly in their lives, Father, so they leave this place and they know without a doubt that you are God, that you are seated on the throne, that there is no authority that is above you, Father. Thank you, God. May you show up so strong in our lives, Father. May we surrender and be obedient to you, Father, in everything that we do, Lord. May we know that our identity, we are kings and we are queens and we are powerful. That is our identity. That is our hope. That is our confidence. May we not forget that. May we hold on to that truth. And when enemy tries to tempt us with lies, may we go back to your word, go back to your presence, go back to truth, knowing that we are sons and daughters, that we are precious, that we are your image bearers, that we are mighty, that we are not like the rest of the world, that we are the light in the darkness. Thank you, Jesus. So we pray as we leave this place, Father, that we leave, Father, with confidence, we leave with authority, knowing that we are strong, that we are powerful, that there is nothing that you have not overcome. In the name of Jesus, amen.